I suppose this is something that I had an unusual insight into as an editor of a religious text, in the sense that my work in my academic work is often about drama. So I'm very familiar with teaching, say, a text of Shakespeare, where it's not enough to understand the words that are said. Every few lines there will be a stage direction. The stage direction implies a bodily action. Now, if you see that play on stage, it would take quite a lot to explain what's going on. And it won't just be a question of so-and-so is speaking to that other person, Othello talking to Iago. One of them will be making one gesture in relation to the other, and then there's a return gesture and so on. Now, the prayer book contains different aspects of that. On the one hand, it's full of what are called rubrics. The term rubric comes from the Latin for the word red, and was actually literally in medieval prayer books, the bits that the priest did were written in red. That term was taken over, and so in a prayer book that you'd see now in a church, it will be in black, but it's still doing the same purpose. It describes the actions that you do during a service. And those actions are sometimes the most important thing. The words themselves obviously have to be the right words, but if they're not accompanied by the right gesture, then people feel that the prayer or the action is not being performed properly or fully. Although, of course, in other cases, it's performed in that kind of way, and there was deep controversy. People shouldn't be performing it in that way. In the 17th century, you can find records in legal depositions of the priest being pulled down in the church service because he made the sign of the cross on the baby's forehead during a baptism. So there are words actually present in the text of the prayer book which prescribe how you perform something, as well as just the words that you say. But there are also countless examples where there isn't a rubric, where there is still a question about how that would be performed in action. If you go into a church service, probably one of the first things you experience is a certain kind of social embarrassment. When do I stand up? When do I kneel down? Should I be sitting? Is it okay just to sit, or should I actually kneel on one of the kneelers, and so on? Any church service is full of these moments of interaction between the congregation and the minister performing the service.